John chapter number 21. Stand, please, while I read the Word of God. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, We also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship. Immediately, and that night they caught nothing. And when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. But he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore. Now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Now let me pause here just for a minute to clarify a couple of things. Verse number 7 said, That disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter. Now, John was that beloved disciple that leaned on Jesus' breast at the Last Supper. He was one of the inner circle three that Jesus had. We sometimes look around and say, well, there's a click here and a click there. You ever notice Jesus had three that he took with him more than he did the others? Everybody's not on the same plane spiritually. Everybody's not where you can talk to. Well, you get what I'm saying? Yes. And different people have different personalities, different friends, different things. But it doesn't mean don't love God. Don't mean we're not all together serving Jesus. I just want to clarify that. Doesn't mean the Lord loved him more than he loved anybody else. But that love was expressed by John in a more way. And Jesus expressed that concern for him. Then this thing about Simon Peter being naked. Now in the Bible, it talks about anytime your thigh is showing its nakedness. He had his outer coat on. It didn't mean he didn't have anything on. He simply didn't have his outer garment on. And so he put that on before he went to see Jesus. And other disciples came in a little, verse 8. Other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging a net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all that were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. That's a blessed thought, isn't it? Come and dine. None of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that was the Lord. Then Jesus cometh and taketh bread, giveth them, and fish likewise. We'll stop reading there, bow our heads for a word of prayer. Keep your Bibles open in John 21, please. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And today, Lord, thank you for the singing of the songs and choir. Sister Jennifer, we praise your name, God, for all you've done. We thank you, Brother and Sister McIntosh, and what a testimony they are. And I pray, God, you bless them this day. Then, Lord, we think of all the sick and ask you to help them and pray your divine touch and be upon them. Some love to be here today, not able to come. We pray the best we know how for them. Then, Lord, those in bereavement, those that have the sorrow that of the loved one being departed from this side. But thank you for the blessed hope of the coming of Jesus when they shall resurrect. But even now, you said to be absent from body is to be present with the Lord. And so we praise you and thank you for those that know Jesus Christ as their Savior, their home with you. I pray now you'd help us preach for a few moments in this house. You know every heart, every life. You know every individual that's here. You know exactly where we are and what we need today. I pray the Holy Ghost would work in hearts, bring conviction, draw to Jesus, encourage, strengthen, challenge. Then, Father, I pray for myself. I ask in Jesus' name for that divine touch to be upon us. Lord, you illuminate our minds, give us the strength we need. And I pray you'd help us preach in power. We'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to speak on this subject today, God being our helper, backslid disciples. Backslid disciples. Now, let me say to you that as we preach this message, we've got Jubilee in mind. We're thinking about being ready when Jubilee comes, when other preachers come in, and all. We want ourselves to be ready for that and be in tune with God so that we may know that. And I was thinking about disciples of Jesus, and I said backslid disciples. Some people get mixed up on that word backslid. Let me say this to you. When I say backslid, I am not talking about losing salvation. I'm talking about not being where we ought to be with God and a place where we used to be closer to God than we are now, then we had to backslide to get there, or else we'd be beyond that point. And so I want you to catch that and be sure that you understand what we're saying when we say backslid disciples. They not where they used to be and where they could have been, but there they are. And so I pray today that God will help us as we look at that and think about it. We're going to look at the cause of this now, and I guess give you three things about it and pray God to help us do it. But I pray we'll be honest with ourselves and let God speak to us. Let God do what he wants to do in our hearts and lives. The cause of the backsliding. Look with me in John chapter 20 and verse 21 and 22. John chapter 20, verse 21 and 22. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." So they had received the commission. They had received the power to do it in. And yet they'd gone fishing. Now Jesus said, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." And so nothing wrong with going fishing. I don't want you to get the wrong thing of what I'm saying. If you got other priorities right, there's nothing wrong with going fishing or hunting or something like that. But when it becomes a priority in our lives and Jesus is not the priority, then it is wrong. And so here, and I'm not a Greek scholar, so I have to take what I've read and what I've heard about this, but here in verse number 3, Simon Peter said they might go a fishing. It wasn't just the fact that he was going to go make a fishing trip. It's the fact that he's going back into business of fishing. And that implies that in the Greek, that he was going back into the business of fishing. That's what he was where Jesus called him. He was a fisherman. And John, James, remember how he called them? They were fishers of fish. And he said, "I'll make you fishers of men." And so he called them out of that and put them in a field of work and gave them commission and had given them the power to do it in. And so there they are. Now, sometimes we get in the same place they did. Us don't get critical of them without looking at ourselves. We've got the commission and God has given us the power to do it in, but are we doing what God has us to do? So I pray God help us as we look at this today. Verse number 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, "I go a-fishing." They say unto him, "We also go with thee." They went forth into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. I want you to get in verse number 3. Peter said, "I go a-fishing." And then immediately they, and they is a plural word, and then it says we, that's plural also. And so we sometimes can use we as a singular, but they certainly is plural. What it was saying was, Peter said, "I go a-fishing." And all these men around him there said, "We're going with you." And so they were going back into fishing business. I don't know. I can't be too critical of them because you have to remember they didn't have the New Testament given at that time. And it was all new to them. But they have been given a commission, and they have been given the power to do it in, but yet somehow they got out there by the seaside, and Jesus wasn't with them personally in presence right there, and they decided they'd go back and fish some. Maybe they thought, well, we're broke and we need some money. I don't know why they did, but they said, we go fishing. By the way, let me say this to you. You never backslide by yourself. Anytime you get out of the will of God, anytime you begin to go let up a little bit and get a little cold on God, hey, somebody going to go with you. I thought about Lot when he went down to Sodom. He looked at that land. It looked like a good place to go and a good place to raise cattle, but he moved on into the city, and he got out of the will of God. I want you to know that he didn't do that by himself. His wife went with him. His daughters went with him. And he got down there and had son-in-laws, because they married his daughters. He had son-in-laws, had to have daughters, got married down there. And they wouldn't listen to him. He seemed like one that mocked in his sight. What was the matter with Lot? He was backslid on God. He wasn't where he needed to be with God. And the Bible says that righteous man's soul was vexed from day to day with her unlawful deed. He was saved man, right? A man that knew God, a man that certainly had a relationship with God, but he moved thinking about the physical. If we're not careful, we'll do the same thing. We'll get so wrapped up in the physical things that we move away from the spiritual things, and God doesn't have his way, and we get out of the will of God. You with me? You understand what I'm saying? I believe that all of us have to say sometimes that's true of us, and we have to admit that we get in that situation and go. Somebody goes with us. You remember Elimelech and Naomi, and when they had a famine in the Bethlehem of Judea, they went down to Moab, and the famine was grievous there in the land where they were, so they went to Moab. They got out of the will of God. Moab was not where they needed to be. That was ungodly people, heathenism. And they went down there, and when they got down there, Elimelech died, two sons died, and then one daughter-in-law was left down there. They didn't backslide by themselves. They didn't go out of the will of God. In fact, Naomi heard that God had visited his people. Let me say to you today, it may get cold sometimes. It may not be services like we like to see all the time. But you hang around long enough, house of God, God will come by somewhere sometime and some service, and it'll be all right. And you don't have to say, well, I'm going to go do this, I'm going to go do that, or whatever. I'm telling you, let's just draw nigh to God. We're looking for Jubilee to come, and we're going to have to first see ourselves like we really are and forget about what we think we are and see us as we really are, as God sees us. And if we see ourselves like God sees us, I guarantee you there's not a person in this house that wouldn't have to say, I got some places I can move up closer. There's some places I've let down and went backward a little bit on. And amen, I'll be the first one to raise my hand and say guilty. And so we need some help, amen, and God to help us. So the cause of it, they just simply got out of the will of God, simply went away from God. And then you see the call of God, number two. Look at verse 4 and 5. But when the morning was come, now come. And I got to think about that. It was nighttime. He was out there and it was dark. When Samson got out of the will of God, do you remember they put his eyes out and he's blind? It gets dark out there. But when morning comes, hallelujah. Hey, morning's a coming one day. And when morning comes, another place in Scripture says, in the morning. I'm glad for morning time. Amen. And so when morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And they were honest about it. And he made a call to them, though. And you get out of the will of God, you'll be hearing deep down inside. If you've ever really been saved, now if you're not saved, it won't bother you to get out of church or get backslid, or because you can't get backslid because you never been where to slide from. And the Old Testament talks about backslid heifers. Amen. And so it means a cow trying to go up a bank, can't get up it, keeps sliding back. And that's kind of a picture of it, how we are. And so here, Jesus makes a call to them, have you any meat? And I wonder today as he looks at us, have we any meat to give out? And that is, have we anything to give people out here in the world? We got anything in our lives that they'd want? Can we really help them? What we're doing, is it really productive as far as helping other people? And these disciples out there, they fished all night, and they were fishermen by trade. They knew how to fish. They knew where to fish. They knew all about that, but they caught nothing. They caught absolutely nothing. You get out of the will of God, that's exactly what you'll be catching, absolutely nothing. And you'll be out there away from God, not where you need to be with God. And it won't be any blessings in it. Won't be any catching fish. It won't be any catching anything that's worth anything. And they said they caught nothing. They toiled all night. They tried. They did their best as far as that part was concerned physically. But God wasn't in it. You ever get saved, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And that being true, then we're not our own. We're bought with a price. And when we get out of the will of God and we try to do something else, it's not going to work. God's not going to help us. We're going to have to be in the will of God for God to help us like we really want him to help us and need help. Amen. We all need some help from God. So I pray we let God help us. And as we see that from time to time. And here we are looking at this and thinking about it. And Jesus calls to them and he wants to get them some help. And they don't realize who it is. And look at verse number 6. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Now, he did not say, and I want you to get this, you bunch of backslid heifers. He didn't say that. He didn't say, what are you doing out there in that boat fishing when I told you to go preach the gospel and I give you the Holy Ghost and power to go with it? What are you doing out? He didn't say that. He said, cast your net on the right side, and ye shall find. And here he is having compassion and showing them that he cares about them. I don't know whether they have a physical need or what it was, because down in Scripture, I'm going to show you something else in a minute. But I do know this, that Jesus, he wasn't rebuking them openly, but he was doing it subtly and letting them know they needed some help. And so as he did that, he told them where to cast the net, and they... And look at it in verse, it says, the right hand side of the ship, and you shall find. And they cast therefore. Now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. They caught so many they didn't know, they couldn't pull them all in. And verse number 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. All of a sudden, when he realized that this man on the shore had told him what to do, they did. And what happened, he realized that was Jesus on the shore calling for them. Sometimes you're out of the will of God, somewhere doing something, and God helps you and lets you hear the call of God, lets you know it's him that's helping you. I say hallelujah. I'm glad God doesn't throw the clay away. I'm glad, thank God, he helps us when we fail. I'm glad when we get out of the will of God, he'll help us get back in the will of God if we'll let him. I'm glad when we get a little cold, a little indifferent. I'm not talking about just getting out of church. I'm not talking about just going to get drunk. I'm talking about just sitting on the pew, getting cold on God. I'm talking about just not being where we ought to be with God and having the fellowship and the power and what we need from God. Amen? And so here we see him, and they catch a fish. And he said, it is the Lord. And then Simon Peter girds his coat on him, and he starts out to shore and gets on shore and gets the fish on shore. And look at verse number 12 and 13. Well, let me back up. I want to get all of it. And verse number 8, disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits. Now, if they were in a ship fishing, then they had two little ships that came in. I believe they're going fishing business. They didn't just make a fishing trip in one boat. Now, Jesus sent Peter one time to catch a fish and told him to cast in a hook, and he caught one fish, had all the money they needed to pay their taxes. That's pretty good fishing. Pretty good fishing. How about these men were out there fishing for numbers of fish? And as soon as, verse 9, as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Now, here Jesus already had the meal prepared. It was already prepared for them. He called to them to have you any meat. And they said no. They admitted they didn't. And here, when they got there, they saw the fish and bread already fixed up. And verse number 10 is interesting to me. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the full of great fish, 153. For all that were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. Now, as he made the call to them, they got out there. They brought the fish in, and Jesus told them to bring me the fish. He already had fish prepared. He didn't need them to cook. He had bread on the coals. The meal was ready. Why did he want their fish? Why didn't he tell them to dump them back in the sea? Why did he want their fish? Maybe they had a need. Maybe they're going to take them to fish market next morning and sell. There's already morning. I don't know what they're going to do with them. But Jesus wanted what they had, and I believe he wanted what they had so they could go do what he asked them to do. And so I remember that song Brother Mike Boone sung. I can't get over that song. He don't want your Isaac wants your Abraham. But he had to be willing to offer Isaac to get Abraham. He had to be willing to bring the fish so he could get them. You got it? Amen. I say praise the Lord. And that and in your life and my life, whatever it is, has got us away from where God wants us to be, then may God help us to bring it to Jesus and leave it there. And then we don't find anywhere in Scripture what they did with those fish. But I guarantee you one thing, they didn't go to waste. Jesus never wasteful, and something happened. But they did find out that he had something for them to do, and we're going to find this a little bit further. But I'm telling you right now, he wanted them to come, bring their fish, bring what they had, what they went back to do, and said, bring it to me, and they did. But then he turned around, still didn't rebuke them openly. He said, come and dine. Hallelujah. If you ever get back to where Jesus wants you, you'll come and dine. I mean, you'll feast at Jesus' table all the time. I say hallelujah. If I could sing, I'd be out of that in a while. Come and dine. Come and dine. Amen. I can't think of the rest of the words, but it's a good song. Amen. Come and dine. And I don't think Brother Mike wants me singing anyway. But that come and dine is precious. Amen. And I love that thought and the context that it's given in. And the disciples out there and struggling, doing not what they should be doing. But Jesus calls to them and said, are you being successful? Have you caught anything? No. And then he says, cast on right side. They did. And then they brought the fish in. Jesus said, bring them to me. They did. And then he said, come and dine. And notice what they did. Amen. Look in verse number 12 and 13. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. None of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. I bet that was good bread, amen, and good fish cooked and ready for them. And so he fed them there. Now, we've seen the cause. The priorities wasn't right. Then we see the call. Jesus called today. If your priority's not right, Jesus is calling for you to get your priorities right. But I want you to see the cure here. I didn't read the text for that, but look at it in verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Now let me pause here to say this. Again, I remind you I'm not a Greek scholar. Again, I remind you that I have to study to find out what some of these words mean. But the word love has different words in Greek for the word love. Agape is a God kind of love, that kind of love that keeps on loving regardless. Philo is that fellowship love, that brotherly love. Philadelphia's name, Philadelphia, brother, city of brotherly love. And so Philo, Jesus said to Peter, do you agape me? He said, I philo thee. In other words, he's saying, Peter, now if you'll notice, he answered that way every time. You know why? Because before he said, I'll never deny you. But Jesus said, you're going to deny me three times. Peter knew that he wasn't capable of that God kind of love in himself. He was afraid to answer that way. He knew himself. He knew his failure. And he knew himself. We needed to know our failures and our weakness and our littleness. And so Jesus said, do you love me? And he said, you don't know. He said, feed my lambs. He said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me, agapest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest I philo thee. That is, I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, And then the word uses the word philo. Lovest thou me? Peter said, was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Did you know here was Peter that had denied him out of the will of God, away from God. And here Jesus is telling him, now, if you love me, do what I said. He see how he's working this all toward getting back that they hadn't done what he said. Now he's getting them to where they are seeing he as the Lord. They're realizing that he's telling them something to do. They're realizing the fact that Jesus is in control. He knows everything. They realize they're in the wrong business out there fishing for fish. And so he said, now feed my lambs. Then he said, feed my little ones, that is. Feed the young Christians and feed them. Feed the sheep. Feed the older Christian. Get out there and do what I told you to do. And Simon Peter got the message, amen. And asking if you love him, he said, keep my commandments. He said that in different places in Scripture. If you love, keep my commandments. Do what I say. And so this morning, if I ask you, do you love Jesus? Ain't not a person here that professes to know Christ. I wouldn't say, yes, I love Jesus. And then do what he says. And he says, be ye witnesses, go into all the world and tell them about Jesus. He said, amen. He said to pray, believe God, lead the word, and share our testimony, be the right, live the right kind of life. All that is part of that. And he said to him, but that's not all I want to get you to see here today. Then verse number 18, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, walkest whether thou wouldest, and when thou shalt be old, thou shalt not stretch forth thine hands, and another thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, another shall girt thee. He said, when you're young, you clothe yourself. Now you're going to get old. You can't do that. And said, they'll carry thee whether thou wouldest not. This spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Now he's dealing with the Apostle Peter, the one that denied him. And all the disciples were listening in on that, I'm sure. And he said to him, he said, now you're going to die, suffer for me. And tradition has it that Jesus, or that Peter, was crucified upside down because he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. But however that be it as it may, if it is or not, he certainly was going to die a martyr's death. Jesus told him. But Peter became a great preacher, a great man of God. God used him mightily on the day of Pentecost. Then Peter, he said, follow me. But then notice this. Then Peter turned about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith the Lord to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Verse number 22. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Boy, you think about what Jesus said to him. Peter saying, he got his foot in his mouth again. He said, follow me. Jesus turns around and sees John and said, what's he going to do? What Jesus literally was saying to him was, in a nice way, it's none of your business. You take care of what I called you to do, and I'll take care of that man in that back there. He said, if I will that he tarry till I come. Now, saying got spread abroad that he's going to live till Jesus came. That wasn't what Jesus said. He said, if I will that he live that long, then what's that to thee? In other words, saying, Peter, what he does and how long he lives and all that is none of your concern. Your concern is to find what God wants for you. You follow me. And sometimes we look around in church and we say, well, that person not doing anything, or that person not doing what they ought to do, or that person somewhere is messed up, and so I'm just not going to do anything either. That's not the right attitude. You just get right with God, follow God, and don't worry about everybody else. I got to answer for me. You have to answer for you. If we'll do that, we'll be doing good. Amen. I say to you today, let's just let God help us. And we that need help, we're not where we need to be with God. And backslid disciples. Boy, I see this picture as they walked away. and they were straightened out and they were going to Jesus. And then what happened in later New Testament times as you read about, I say, glory, hallelujah. I'm glad Jesus went down by the seaside and got them out of that fishing business, put them into the business of fishing for men, and the power of God in the early church came and God did what he did. I'm saying to you today, Jubilee, we got scheduled, but it doesn't just happen. I'm saying, let's let God help us now. Bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege we have to endeavor to open the Word of God and preach. And I pray today, Father, when we think about these backslid disciples, we'll just not think about them, but think about ourselves. Where are we? And are we doing what you want us to do? I pray in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit will do his work in hearts, in lives, in individuals. And help me and all of our people that will obey you. Then, Lord, somebody here unsaved need to come to Jesus and be born in the family of God. Thank you for what you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.